Now, ladies and gentlemen, we do have a few minutes for interaction, for discussion, for sharing your comments, your thoughts. This is a unique opportunity. So I will be happy to give you the floor in the order in which I see you. And I see Ambassador Sacco here asking for the floor in first place. Ambassador.
Muchas gracias. Permítanme, como representante permanente de Italia ante la FAO, de agradecerle a esta organización y a su director general el evento de esta mañana, porque yo creo que con este evento queda definitivamente consagrado el papel del Hub Romano de Naciones Unidas como Hub de Seguridad Alimentaria, Nutricional y Agricultura Sostenible, pero sobre todo como hub de seguridad humana. Y permítame agradecerle al señor Arias las palabras estupendas que usó relativamente a Roma como tercera capital mundial de Naciones Unidas y, si puedo permitirme, también como mi ciudad. Muchas gracias.
Muchas gracias, embajador. Muchas gracias, embajador. Grazie tante. There's a request for the floor here. Yes.
Thank you. Frédéric Deve from the governance unit of FAO. I am really very happy today because what is needed is an insurrection, a revolt, an upsurge of the spirit of humankind. In the 60s, the Director General of FAO in those years, R.B. Sen, mobilized 23 Nobel Prizes and high personalities in a big movement, the Alliance Against Hunger, which created a huge movement in the 60s, in the public opinion worldwide, and many NGOs and many religious leaders and moral authorities launched this huge humanity movement in the 60s. It is indispensable that public opinion pressures political will. And as moral leaders in the world, it is extremely important that you, laureates of the Nobel Prize, contribute to this public opinion movement. If I may suggest something as a humble staff member to the Alliance, it is that a very strong focus is placed on campaigning in the public opinion to end with indifference, to end with this use of accepting the unacceptable in the public opinion. This is vital for the policymakers themselves. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I know that many of you would like to take the floor as you're preparing your comments and your suggestions. The representative of Bangladesh, who... Yes, please. You have the floor.
Thank you very much, Madam Marcella, for giving me the floor. Is it working? Thank
yes,
you very much for this initiative. I am Dr. Mohammad Mafizur Rahman from Bangladesh Embassy, Rome. And I would like to thank FAO for taking this initiative, actually for integrating the Nobel laureates for peace. How important it is, as because you see the enthusiasm of this meeting. This room never was full like this. So definitely it is a great, great event for us. And all four Nobel laureates have pointed out specific things. Professor Yunus Three-Zeros was President Oscar about the battles of peace, and Madam Tawakkal said about the how much percentage of investment for the agriculture if I took the major portion, and finally Betty Williams said the children's right. This is very important actually to integrate peace for food security, peace for actually the human beings living, peace for everything. But just I would like to thank all of you just to make a political commitment, because other than the political commitment, peace will never come, sustainable development will never be achieved. and it is the main responsibility of the political government, I mean the state, to take the lead for the sustainable development, for peace and everything. And I would like to salute particularly Madam Betty Williams for the right of the children. Today we have seen so many children are killing in different areas of the world, not only for the protracted crisis, even for the society where there is no protracted crisis, even then children are killing, children are missing, are kidnapped, and we cannot protect the children's rights. So our appeal to all of you, as because you have a lot of commendable voice to the state, probably you can do something. We are with all of you, and including, I would like to thank also the Jose Graziano de Silva for taking this initiative. Probably this is the right time we can do something for the whole globe and peace for the sustainable development. Thank you all.
Thank you, Ambassador. I see the World Farmers Organization has requested the floor.
Thank you, Chair. I'm Marco Marzano De Marinis. I'm the Secretary General of the World Farmer Organization. Food security and social stability, beautiful terms. And it's actually what farmers all over the world do on a daily basis. We provide employment, and this allows people to remain in their community and avoid migration, unnecessary migration. We provide food security. It's our bread and butter. We also take care of the climate and the environment. But as Mr. Yunus has just mentioned, there are still 800 million people that are still hungry. And most of them are farmers. So, concurring with what you said, Mr. Yunus, not only today, but even when we met in Turkey a few years ago, I think that we have to invest in those farmers, which are mostly subsistence farmers. And in WFO, what we try is to make them more professional and more entrepreneur. Because we strongly believe that if people are motivated enough, if people are professional enough, if people can provide satisfaction for their family, as other colleagues, especially young farmers, as other people of the same age in other profession can take care of their family, their girlfriend, etc., by providing a stable life, they can facilitate to getting out of this miserable situation. So we strongly believe that this alliance, which I see to be very inclusive, will also concentrate their activities on farmers and make possible that farmers of the world, especially those that are mostly poor, can get out of this unfortunate solution and not only provide food for all, but also provide a stable future for their family. Thank you very much and all the best for this magic alliance.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Comments, questions? Yes, please, Ambassador.
Good day, Your Excellencies. I think as an African, I owe it a responsibility to appreciate about 400 years experience, close to 500, amongst you people seated here. And I could see all the efforts that you've made. My worry is this. With all the commitments, all the efforts, all the dedication, yet the problem refused to go away. I think we should look at the fundamentals. The smallholders feed at least 80% of populations in areas. And yet, they're the poorest. What is making them poor? Lack of recognition of their efforts has been vital. And the dumping of food that are subsidized. What is making them poor? Using valuable resources to buy weapons of destruction. If 1/100th of those monies could be used to strengthen them, to encourage them, to give them the required materials that will make them more efficient, the world will not be in this pitiable state. I'm a grandfather of 8 kids with a set of triplets, and that gives me sleepless nights. Now, when all of you that have put in so much, and one can see the tangible efforts that you've made, not being actualized because of other consideration, isn't it high time that we look for a real breakthrough where we have to appeal to everybody's conscience, both in government, in the private sector, and of individuals? I do believe that it is doable. I'm an optimist, and I believe if you people have not been optimistic, probably you would have given up the ghost. So what needs to be done is that we should continue to press the buttons more frequently and get everybody to be on their toes. The gentleman who talked about awareness campaign, I support him 100%. Because we need the resources are there. The energies are there. The poor people, the poor farmers are still out there working day and night. It needn't be so. Can we stop discouraging them by making their effort not being appreciated? When we talk of value chain, there's nothing new. We just need to be determined to actualize these things and stop the rhetorics. I'm looking forward to a situation where this world will be what God wants it to be, a world that is balanced, a world that everyone should be able to have a joyful end. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Do we have other interventions, other words, other thoughts, suggestions? Okay, I see a young participant. Let us give the voice to the youth.
Thank you. Thank you all for being here. It's a pleasure, an honor to have you at FAO. And it's been quite inspiring, two stories. First from Mrs. Williams, telling how events can be transformative in our lives, like you witnessing the death of 3 children. But also a very inspiring story about how can we see things that we didn't see before comes from your book, Banker to the Poor, with Sofia Begum in the Chittagong village. I had my own transformative moment with a beneficiary of the Grameen Bank in Bangladesh, and that's why I am here, committed with all these people to fight hunger and put it with poverty into museums. The question is, in a topic that is very dear to my heart, is how can we also be, I think that it's very clear that we can all be change makers, that it doesn't matter where we are, in what position, we can all make a change. But how can we really go into making a transformative change for women? And I think Mrs. Karman, as the first Arab woman who has won a Nobel laureate, can tell us a bit more of how can we change the situation of women, specifically in the Middle East, to achieve what is attainable in our lifetime, poverty and hunger into museums. So in that first point. And second, as a Colombian national right now in the peace process, I would very kindly ask you to support my country in the way to peace and giving us some ideas on how my society, my country, my people can learn from what has happened in Costa Rica and all of your countries to, change a and be happier. Thank you very much for being here and all your words. Thank you, DG.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. I see a hand in that part of the room. Can you kindly put it up again? Yes, please.
Merci, c'est M. Cissé, ambassade de Côte d'Ivoire. Je voudrais remercier les prix Nobel et remercier le directeur général pour cette initiative. Je voudrais poser une question au professeur Younous sur la question des microcrédits, puisque c'est essentiel, le microcrédit dans nos pays, contre la lutte contre la pauvreté et la faim. Après plus de 20 ans, l'expérience est en train d'évoluer dans nos pays, mais avec de grosses difficultés aujourd'hui, c'est-à-dire des questions d'actualité. La semaine dernière, nous étions à Paris, à l'OCDE, dans la réflexion que nous faisions de l'approche territoriale contre la sécurité alimentaire, l'insécurité alimentaire dans nos pays. Nous nous sommes rendus compte dans la réflexion que la microfinance n'est plus efficace dans le financement de nos agricultures. Parce que dans nos pays, nous voulons un investissement massif dans le domaine agricole. Et nous nous rendons compte aujourd'hui que non seulement l'accessibilité dans la microcrédit n'est pas tout à fait aisée, mais les banques aussi, n'est-ce pas, ne sont pas disponibles à financer les projets agricoles dans nos pays. Et donc, nous nous posons la question, mais comment allions-nous faire si la microcrédit, pratiquement dans certaines parties des pays africains, fonctionne pour le petit commerce. Mais aujourd'hui, on parle de développer notre agriculture et de passer à la transformation dans la chaîne de valeur de nos produits agricoles. D'où, on parle de financement innovant, on parle de d'autres types d'investissement. Monsieur le professeur, je voudrais vous demander, outre la microcrédit, est-ce que vous avez d'autres idées pour nous permettre, nous, pays africains, membres de la FAO évidemment, de pouvoir pratiquement faire face à la question du financement, n'est-ce pas, de l'évolution de notre agriculture. Je vous remercie.
Merci beaucoup, Monsieur l'Ambassadeur. I will allow the panelists to respond later. In the meantime, I see a hand in the back there. Gentlemen, please, you have the floor.
Thank you. Many thanks to FAO, of course, and many thanks to all Nobel laureates for your presence here. Well, but I think it would be, let's say, a missed opportunity if we could not allow the Nobel laureates to have a comment on a crisis which affects not just my country, Greece or Italy, but all Europe and all the Mediterranean, the refugee crisis. So any comment by the Nobel laureates on the dimension of the root causes and the remedies for this crisis would be very, very appreciated. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have other questions, other comments, other interventions at this time? I don't see any. Oh, yes, please, Ambassador.
Thank you very much. I'd like to congratulate the Director General on this initiative and thank all the panelists for their inspiring speeches. And it's particularly good to see Betty Williams here because we're very conscious in Ireland of the success of our own peace process, working with our British friends, although, as Betty said, it's imperfect. But of course, Northern Ireland saw some of the worst violence in the modern world. And I think the fact that it is now at peace is not just good for us and for our British neighbours, but also is, I believe, a sign of hope for the wider world that it is possible to resolve these difficulties. And likewise, the relationship between Ireland and Britain, which probably have a more long-standing rivalry than any other two countries that are represented in this room, are now the closest of friends, and that the closeness of our geography has at last become more important than the divisions of our history. And I think that is also something that is of significance, not just for us, but for the wider world. I'd like to ask if any of the panelists would like to comment on one question, and that is that they all spoke very eloquently about the major problems the world faces, and they spoke passionately about the need to address them. I'd like to ask them, are they optimistic? And if they are optimistic, what specific elements make them optimistic, other than, of course, the Food and Agriculture Organization, which is such an important building block in addressing these questions. Thank you.
Thank you, indeed. I can tell you that from FAO, we are optimistic that we will eradicate hunger from here until 2030. Do we have other questions? If we don't at this time, I'd like to give the floor back to our panelists and ask them to take the floor in the order in which they intervened earlier. So, Professor Yunus.
Thank you. I will respond to Côte d'Ivoire, Ambassador. But microcredit, yeah, there are lots of microcredit programs all over Africa. So, some work well, some don't. Some, like in the rest of the world, have kind of deviated from the mission of microcredit, became loan shark themselves rather than fighting the loan shark. So we're trying to put the picture in more clarity so that know that who is the right microcredit versus a wrong microcredit. The real fault or the real issue is not the programs which are being carried on today. The problem is the governments are not coming forward with legislative measures. The one of the problem, global problem, is banks that we have today in the whole world are focused on addressing the people who have already have lots of money. They don't address the problem of the people who don't have money. So, and there's a big vacuum. So the banking law that exists is actually banking law to create bank for the rich. So we need a separate law which will create the bank for the poor. And then we'll have this real microcredit coming in. Otherwise, it won't happen. When you talk about microcredit, you are talking about NGOs doing microcredit. And that is not a sustainable program, because to give $100 loan to somebody, NGO has to find somebody who will give them the $100. Then they will lend the $100. So that's very limited by the amount of money available to the NGOs. But we need institutions which can run by themselves, like a banking system. If a bank is created for the poor people, then they can take deposits and lend the money to the poor people. So it's a self-sustaining issue completely. So this is one issue. And some of them just copy-paste from each other without looking at the reality of the situation, how to adjust. Grameen Bank has a diversified programs, not just one lending money. It's a huge, big, different programs came out of it anyway. But people picked up only one part of Grameen Bank microcredit, just lending money, forgot every other things that we have. You'll see basic thing like 16 decisions every borrower commit themselves to about social transformation of this poor person, the poor woman, to fight the system and environment around them, how to overcome those issues. That commitment is a very strong commitment. It fights the health issues, it fights the social issues, many other issues, sanitation issues, everything. So this is one. And microcredit is looking at the financial part of it. But there are many other issues. That's why we extended to social businesses right from the beginning, involved in many things. So this will be a diversified thing. You can address any problem faced by any person, any community, like agriculture, for example. I was mentioning in my initial remarks that that's where the transformation of the youth has to take place. And this is what the entrepreneurship comes. They will not be looking for jobs, running to the city, find a job at the office or somebody. They will have enough opportunity created by themselves in the rural areas with the creation of those linkages among them. And it's a possibility. It's now it's happening. We work in Uganda, we work in Tanzania, we work in several African countries. We see enormous interest among the young people. And while I'm saying that, I come back to the optimism issue. Yes, I'm very much an optimist myself. I call myself compulsive optimist. It will never make me a pessimist at all. I see silver lining everywhere, even in the darkest nights, because I see a possibility. And my reason for having so much optimism, three things. One is the youth of this time is completely different, massively different than the youth of our previous generation. For one reason, they are a lucky generation who have enormous access to technology, which no other generation ever in the history of mankind happened. So I tell them that you are the most powerful generation in the human history. Now the question is, if you know that you are the most powerful generation, you must ask yourself, what use you're going to make of your power? If you don't become aware, you'll never use it. If you're aware but not using it, it will be wasted. So this is your turn. Find out what is the thing that you do. I said, you can change the entire world by yourself, alone. That's the power you have. And make use of that. Luckily, young people are responding. Young people want to do different things than our generation and previous generation did. They are more socially oriented than our generation because their technology has made it so. Because the linking that has taken place and enormous access to information and knowledge and so on, that's what. So the youth is the one which is my source of optimism. All these issues that we are talking about, if you can communicate to the young people, if they take it as their issue, I think they will transform everything. Simply how to communicate to them that this is an issue that you have to look at. Second issue that I see optimism, technology. Technology is transforming everything. All the kinds of things we do today will be outdated tomorrow. That's the speed it has. In 10 years, 15 years, 20 years' time, the world will be so different because of the speed of technology itself. What kind of direction we give to the technology? Technology can only do things what our minds ask them to do, designed them to do. What are we asking them? That's why I say each one of us has to have a destination. This is the destination we want. That's how we design technologies, policies, everything to make it happen. That's why I was presenting the zeros. This is my destination. This is what I want to reach. And I want to mobilize everything to reach that. Each person can have their own, should have their destination, particularly the young people. This is the most important part of growing up. What is the destination? Who am I? Where am I going? That has to be very clear to them. Then this is what this happened. That's a source of optimism. Third, that there's changes in the conceptual framework. Like we talk about the business of making money and business of solving problems. How to get the involved. Today, the issue that I'm emphasizing, if we bring that issue of business to solve problem rather than make money for myself, will transform the whole agricultural sector. Not defying, not denying, not removing others, simultaneously doing it. There's entire room left, vacuum, which can be filled by social businesses. Everybody will be happy. The money-making businesses will be happy. Consumers will be happy. People who are involved in there will be happy because this is a transformational process. So these three things are the basis of my compulsive optimism that I have. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Presidente? Presidente Arias, quisiera tomar la palabra. So, Tawakol Korman, would you like to answer some of the questions?
Yes. The question is, how can we help women in the Middle East on their struggle on fighting in poverty? I think it's very important to know that women now calling for peace as a gate for food security. It's very important to know that women now are sacrificing in the Middle East and especially in Arab peace countries and especially in Arab Spring countries for justice, for peace, for also ending poverty and ending hunger. So it's very important to be with women and with youth on their struggle on this region. And we will not achieve the food security without a good and real strong plan, real strong strategy on stopping wars there, on stopping the conflicts there. And as I said, it's very important to make a huge and as a comprehensive solution. Comprehensive solution for building peace there. It will not be peace there if there is militia or if there is any group that carry weapons it's very important to the state to be the only state who I'm going to speak in Arabic. مرة أخرى. مرة أخرى. لكي ما الذي بإمكان ما الذي بإمكان الم... يعني بإمكاننا أن نساعد النساء في منطقة الشرق الأوسط من أجل مكافحة الفقر. من المهم جدا أن نعلم أننا في جهودنا نحو مكافحة الفقر في الشرق الأوسط وفي الدول العربية بشكل خاص بأن نعلم بأن هناك نضال كبير داخل هذه المجتمعات من أجل بناء السلام. هذه المجتمعات تعاني من الحرب، تعاني من الجوع، تعاني من المرض، تعاني كذلك من فقدان أو اللاكف اللي هو انخفاض التعليم. فمهم جدا أن يكون هناك خطة استراتيجية تعمل على بناء سلام مستدام. هذه الخطة الاستراتيجية لبناء السلام المستدام تحدثت فيها في كلمتي، وذلك في يعني العمل على أن تكون الدول هي صاحبة الحق الحصري في امتلاك السلاح، وأن لا تكون هناك أي جماعات مسلحة تعمل على تنفيذ أجندتها ومطالبها عبر القوة واستخدام العنف، بل أن يجب على هذه الجماعات المسلحة أن تتحول إلى أحزاب سياسية تعمل على المشاركة السياسية في البلد في تحقيق أهدافها. يبقى أن هناك خطط استراتيجية أخرى من أجل مكافحة الفقر ومن أجل يعني إنهاء الجوع كجزء من خطة التنمية المستدامة التي نناضل من أجلها جميعا. مهم جدا كفالة عدم التكرار للجرائم الحادثة هناك مرة أخرى. لا سلام دون عدالة. هذا كفالة عدم التكرار معناه بأنه يجب أن يكون هناك عدالة انتقالية تكفل تعويض الضحايا، تكفل تعويض الجرحى، تكفل تعويض أسر الشهداء، تكفل عدالة انتقالية تعمل على معاقبة أو ملاحقة أولئك المجرمين الذين يرتكبوا جرائم ضد الإنسانية. نحن بحاجة إلى بناء سلام حقيقي مرة أخرى، مرة ثانية وثالثة وعاشرة. لا سلام دون تنمية مستدامة، ولا تنمية مستدامة دون سلام. لا سلام دون أمن غذائي، ولا أمن غذائي دون سلام. إذن علينا أن نعمل على دعم نضال يعني هذه الشعوب نحو السلام. وأنا هنا أشجع تحالف نوبل مع الفاو من أجل تقديم مبادرات سلام، مبادرات حقيقية تعمل على بناء سلام مستدام في المنطقة.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Ms. Williams, you have the floor.
President Arias, did you want to make a comment? No? Okay. I just had an idea. Professor Eunice, why don't we open that first bank that you're talking about in Basilicata? Why don't we do that? Let's look. There's a positive coming out of this meeting, that if you can give us your knowledge, we are going to try and find people who will support it. There you go. As for being an optimist, you have to be. You definitely have to be. One of the things that I love most about the Irish character is that we laugh at each other. You know, we don't take ourselves too seriously. We have this kind of twisted sense of humor, which works for me, you know, it's sort of. So I really don't take myself too seriously, but I take my work very, very seriously. The most important thing in my life is my work. And if we come out with an idea that we can open a bank that shows them how to do it, why not? We can do it, Professor Eunice. We can do it. There you go.